You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 8:06 in the morning here on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Christopher D. Simone and Tom Callahan spin the wax, and Dr. McCluskey from Rincon Ventures. Sean, good morning, sir.
How are we doing?
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm absolutely wonderful. I cannot complain.
I love your springy shirt you got on today.
Have you ever seen me in a boring color?
No.
Have you ever seen me in pants? This is true. You have.
I have seen you in pants.
Like in the last 10 years?
And I've seen you without pants.
Yeah. No. Easy. Whoa. This is a PG-13 show.
Family show. Family
come on now. You're referring to my shorts, I hope.
Of course. Love that you're here. We got Coach Adia Barnes coming up at the bottom of the hour.
I'm looking forward to this. She put the life back into Tucson.
She did.
Everybody was like, oh, everybody's watching women's basketball. Shut up in color, because, hey, guess what? It was the only exciting thing on TV, and it gave us something to root for and something to do, and thank God, because we all needed it.
You are correct. You went to Vegas.
Vegas was a blast. Had four just outrageous good days.
With your lovely soon-to-be bride.
You know, it was a couples trip, and oddly enough, I've never done a couples trip to Vegas.
Shocking.
It was just... It was outrageous.
That's awesome.
It was a Vegas trip that I've never had, but a heck of a lot of fun. And we spent most of the last day by the pool and just met a bunch of great people. I'm going to have one of the guys on the radio.
Look at you.
He does barbecue out of the Midwest.
Awesome.
Hey, and we need some barbecue in this town. We got one guy doing barbecue, that's it. And they do a different style, and they ship all across the country, so it'll get to you. You just have to heat it up right.
Again, Boulevard, Dave's...
Killing it. Absolutely killing it.
I know a lot of people have other places that they might like in Tucson, but he has consistently proven his excellence in smoking brisket, pulled pork, and other things for the last so many years.
Are you on the amateur grill on Facebook?
Maybe.
He's on there, and he's no amateur by any shape or means, but he always gives good hints. And there was some guy having a problem cooking his pork roast or something this morning, and Dave's like, fire that thing up hot and heavy in the beginning, and then back the heat down, and it'll get you where you need to be. So tips and tricks from Dave are great.
Very cool.
Now, also, speaking of Boulevard, because he is definitely a fat kid favorite, if you go there and you like spicy, get it on the side, but he has got this sauce that'll curl your hair.
Barbecue sauce?
No, this is the hot.
Okay.
This is his. He's got some, oh my goodness, your backside's going to be on fire, but it's hot, and it's really flavorful.
Beautiful.
I like it if it's flavorful and hot and not burn your face off.
No, you got to have the balance.
Yeah, and he's got it right there.
Very cool.
It's got a little sweet and tangy to it, but then it brings the just, hey, how you doing?
All right, what do you got for me today?
Okay, so you did the Border Reporter tour with the GOP idiots. And
hold on. Only one was an idiot.
The whole thing's falling apart fast, okay?
It's like, what do you mean the whole thing's falling apart?
Old cookie getting hit by a hammer.
You talking about Kelly?
Everybody in that thing is just an absolute poop show. Come on, focus on the task at hand and quit fighting amongst each other. Let's start there. But let's go back to the border.
We're going to talk about the GOP circus later with the GOP, right? So in the end, right, Kelly Ward, in the end, the way she's handled this thing, train wreck.
And that's what I said.
Okay. And the stuff that has fallen out of her husband's mouth, her mouth, and how they've handled this is low class.
Okay? When people send you a text thread of somebody and said, do you think he's drunk? Right. It's kind of funny.
Right?
And you don't know which one they're talking about, either themselves or the other person on the thread.
So, yes, you're right. We keep talking about it. It's in the headlines because every Democrat, Democrat journalist, redundant.
Yeah, thank you.
Most of these journalists are going to pounce on it, okay? But at the same time, does Kelly Ward... So you can ignore her, right, and just do your thing, whether you're a candidate or an LD or a county party. You can ignore her. You don't really need her. In the end, I think for some people, because every time she opens her mouth, she costs us votes, they'd rather not have her in that seat. But in the end... Just, I'd like to move on from this too, but everyone in the end just has to ignore her and her husband and keep just doing the good work.
If you're a congressional candidate, if you're a state candidate, how does any of this help you fundraise? It doesn't.
Nope.
It actually is a detriment to you.
If you're the Republican,
your state chairman is killing your campaign.
If you're a Republican in the big important Republicans, and you want to win back the Kelly, the seat that Kelly holds right now, right? You should be going over there and saying, Kelly, submit to the audit. Let's get it done and go on with our lives. Just get it done with.
Or step down.
Either one.
You got two choices.
Right.
But she wants to run for Congress, so why don't you just jump into the fray?
Right.
Either that or Senate. Take your pick.
Right.
But either get in the mess or get out of the mess, but do something.
But that's the part I don't understand is why I'm the big folks. Even Trump knows if she even said, you know, I'm in regular contact with the president. Right.
Oh, somebody make me barf.
Right. Okay. If you're really in regular contact with the president, even Trump knows we need to maximize the results to get rid of Mark Kelly.
Absolutely.
All right.
What about get rid of Sinema first?
Well, he's up for election first. But it's the idea that just shut up.
Focus on both of them.
Right. Audit. Let's get done with this. Let's move on. And let's get on with our lives. That's where we're at.
And then she keeps attacking poor Billy Beard, which I think is hilarious. And Billy, he's like, okay, I'm a pinata right now. Who cares? And he just takes it. And he fires back and he gets some little witty back and forth with her. And it's just funny. So, and then the people that are attacking him, I mean, it's funny that she's got so many little pit bulls, but whatever. They don't really have any bark. They all bark, no bite. So,
well, again, so
it is what it
we
is.
Know her husband is just the angriest guy ever.
Yeah, I don't know why, though.
He's just miserable.
Well, go be happy. life's too short to be miserable like that. Go be happy.
But so, I just want to share what he's told Billy Beard.
I saw this, and that's where the comment comes from earlier.
All right. So let's see. So first of all, this lady named Karen McKean calls Bill a rhino. Right? If there's a guy who's not a rhino, it's Billy Beard. So, Michael Ward, isn't Bill that guy who keeps wasting tens of thousands of dollars of party money on frivolous lawsuits? What a freaking loser. Okay? And then he says he's just a loser troll. Okay? This is Michael Ward. Okay? And then he says they're busy wasting the party money, legal fees. The funny part, when Bill applied for a job with a landscape company that I part own, needless to say, the dumbass didn't get an interview. This is Kelly Ward's husband.
Yeah.
And then we have...
He looks a little petty. Just a little. I don't know.
It's about sore losers and Trump haters. This is Michael Ward again.
Oh my goodness. Come on, this guy.
It's about a loss of party and the control of the party. It's about Billy not being hired by Kelly because, frankly, he would have been horrible. It's about their failed smear campaign and how of their failed coup. And then Michael Ward says to Bill, you made it personal. Get it, a-hole? This is the husband of the...
He might want to proofread before he hits send. And you might want to have... there's a rule on Facebook. After three beers or three drinks, you put the Facebook down.
I mean, what are we doing here? All right.
Real quick.
Yes, sir. Please.
You guys did the border tour.
Yes.
And I want to ask you this. When you did the border tour, did they tell you how many terrorists they have captured on either side of the border?
That's a great tease for our next segment.
Thank you.
Sean McCluskey, Christy Simone, you're on Wake Up Tucson. Rincon Ventures, you get a hold of Sean. They do amazing job with rentals and, of course, selling and buying real estate, RVRTO.com. Coach Adia Barnes, University of Arizona, coming up at the bottom of the hour. McCluskey's banging over here. He's making it happen. He likes his brick house.
Getting ready for Star Dance on the 12th.
That's true.
Getting my groove on for the wedding.
You know.
It's right after that. You're killing me that week. You know that, right?
When's your wedding?
The 15th.
Oh, that's right. I was just at Star Dance yesterday, walking through with Kelly for Ed's retirement party. I'll make it totally official on Monday, but May 12th, 5:30 start at Star Dance at Alexander's retirement party. It has been officially... approved by his wife.
No way. You got the blessing of the boss. You're good.
Doesn't matter what Ed thinks.
That's how the mafia works.
All right. So Coach Adia Barnes, U of A women's basketball, coming up in the next segment. So you were asking me about the border. I just did a border tour for the Arizona GOP. And so you have a...
I got friends in low places.
Thank you,
or
sir.
Or good places. Take your pick. But Border Patrol, Homeland Security and a couple other folks in those areas, we're having a chat the other day. And they're like, hey, why is there no local press on the people that we're catching at the border that are on the FBI watch list? And we're talking about straight up terrorists. The guys that when you're in the Middle East, you help the special forces hunt them down type of guys. Guys that want to blow up America. And we're not hearing anything about this.
Although, what's Jim Psaki call them? Hold on. Misunderstood refugees. Don't call them terrorists.
No, they're straight terrorists. They're on the terrorist watch list. You happen to be a terrorist if you're on that list. I'm sorry. You have to be. You qualified. So, and I didn't put them on that list, so I can call them terrorists because they're on the terrorist watch list.
How many have they snagged so far?
Well, we got two nights ago.
Really?
And not a word about it.
Where were they at?
They were at El Centro.
Oh, okay.
And then you have two that were in the Yuma sector, and you have two that were in our sector that we know of. Sure. How many got through?
Well, that's always the thing, right? There's always that percentage that they say, if you capture 1,000 people at the border, maybe a few hundred extra got through.
So how many, if we've only gotten six that we know of, and those are six that I know of, and I don't know how many else are out there, and if you're a Border Patrol or whatever you want to do, and you want to call in, 790-2040. But it's the guys that are telling me this, that they're good friends of mine, and they're like, look, Sean, we've worked together for years, and this is what we know, and this is what we do. And I'm like, uh-huh. And how come we're not hearing about this? Where's Timmy Stellar? Where's the rest of the idiot crew? I mean, come on, Jim Nitzel, get off your duff and let's go. Teach a kid how to be a reporter or something. I don't know. That's what you're supposed to do, right? But we don't do that. We don't ever talk about that. We don't talk about what's coming across. We just talk about the fluff and everything else and that the COVID-19 shot's working. Who cares at this point? Just open everything up, get rid of the mask. And if you're worried so much about COVID-19, why aren't we testing the illegals coming across?
That's a lot to unpack.
That's all
there.
I got.
Or you said you had a couple of questions for me. What's my questions?
Well, one of them was how many terrorists were you guys told that were captured when you were on your tour?
So the last one we had, we did not have a Border Patrol person on it.
Okay,
just the way that it kind of worked out, and they were so. But I haven't heard the. We used to do before the Rona, right? Part of the tour was we used to have lunch at the Fresh Produce Association building, and we'd always had someone from Customs or Border
come by and say
hi. Then give us the report, right? Yeah. So the other thing too is it was very interesting when they would give you the OTM, which is other than Mexicans.
I was going to go there next.
Number, right, of where these people country-wise are coming, right? In relation to Asia and other things like that. So I haven't seen that report in a while.
That's my next question. Did you see that report? Because that report hasn't been around in a long time.
Right.
And then the other thing is, how much are we doing that? We basically live on the heroin highway. It's I-10 from Mexico to Portland. It just basically, that's where they traffic all the drugs. And we never catch them here in Pima County. We always catch them in Yuma. Either our Democratic sheriff sucks, or it's not a focus, or they're just that much better at catching drugs in Yuma than we are.
I don't know because
it didn't happen under Duke.
I can't tell you specifically.
It didn't happen under Napier. It doesn't happen under this new guy that we ain't seen in 6 months.
What's interesting about Nanos is
that's his name.
I keep hearing that he doesn't really show up. That his crew is kind of running the place. You know,
and Chuck's running the place. We haven't heard a thing from anybody about Sheriff's Department since Mark left.
Yep.
Now, switching gears real quick, Pliskin Acres.
Yes.
What the hell's going on? Our chief of police, you keep bagging on this guy left and right. Will you please just let up a little bit and let him go to D.C., fall on his face, and he get fired?
Oh, this is the part I want to get to, because you're upset with me.
I'm not upset. I just think it's funny. I think it's funny that you keep pointing out every crap article that's out there on Chief Magnus. And by the way, there's only like 70. And if the opposition of Magnus wanted to go anywhere, just go to Chris DeSimone Facebook page, and all the information is there for you. He's done all the homework.
I just read the letter from the Tucson Protective League that basically it's a vote of no confidence in Magnus, his executive team, and the entire city council. That just came up this morning.
Was there ever any doubt about anybody ever having no confidence in our idiots?
Listener Robert just CC'd me his letter that he sent to Cinema about Magnus, right? And he said we've had 6 homicides in a week in Tucson. 6.
We've had 6 shootings. Not homicides. Shootings.
Well, I mean,
flat out, we're in the wild, wild west right now. I mean, people are just gunning each other down in the middle of the street.
Well, and then there seems to be these juvenile delinquents that are like the Pima and Alvernon red light runner happened to be started with a shooting assault before, and they show the pictures, and it's two baby-faced 17-year-old kids.
Well, the parking garage that Raheena hasn't mentioned, yet.
Yep. So,
The other thing about that is...
So, the one thing on that, so when if this guy Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis gets acquitted, Raheena will be the first one out there leading a march from the U of A to downtown, and she'll still forget that Forest Keys ever existed. Just to let everybody know that. That's a very easy prediction to make.
Well, right now, your mayor and your chief of police...
I'll say mine.
Well, she's not mine either. Mayor of Tucson, we'll talk called Queen Raheena. Her and her chief of police right now have the ATF, SWAT, and like six other organizations helping them on a major drug bust in the middle of town. I'm sorry, ATF had to come in and lead this because our inept police department, when our chief can't get enough people out there to do their job, to do this. So how is this guy going
to
lead the Border Patrol?
I want to get back to your umbrage about me bringing up these stories. The problem is he's still, Chris Magnus is a problem, but really in the end, he's a symptom of the problem. The problem still exists, right? And their name is Raheena, Steve, Paul, Nikki, Richard, Lane, Karen, and whoever else I missed.
Are you afraid that they're going to bring somebody in who's worse?
Sure.
How could you get worse than Magnus?
Oh, they can find someone worse. They're not looking. Look, they brought in, think about this. The motivations of Raheena Romero and Joe Biden on both of these moves are the same. She brought in Chris Magnus because he doesn't like cops. Okay. And Joe Biden, well, not Joe Biden, but whoever has got their hand up Joe's nether regions.
Master.
Okay. Picked Chris Magnus because he hates the Border Patrol. That's where we're at. This is like making you the head of the Pima Democrat Party, right? Because it's an organization that you don't believe in, and you be like, well, why would they make McCluskey the head of the Pima Democrat Party, right? It's the same thing. That's why you don't put people who hate the organization as part of the, because the same thing that's happening in Tucson now is going to happen at Border Customs and Border.
I think he gets swallowed up and gets spit out. I think he gets chewed up and spit out because his policies won't hold. There'll be such a morale dump in the Border Patrol that he won't be there very long.
We'll see, young Jedi. We'll see. But the ability of Raheena and the crew to hire someone just as bad or worse is amazingly possible.
There's another chief of police out there that's worse than this guy. You can't be.
Sure there is.
There can't be.
You know, you have that line where you say, don't ever think you're irreplaceable.
I know I'm replaceable. Trust me. My name's on my company door, and I know I'm replaceable.
Someone just as goofy or goofier can replace Chris Magnus.
Yeah.
It's out there, baby.
That's revolting.
All right, when we come back, we have Coach Adia Barnes, University of Arizona women's basketball participant in the national championship game. So, wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Have my friend Sean McCluskey here, Rincon Ventures. Welcome back, big dog.
How we doing?
Appreciate it. Let's go right to the phones. A lady who, her and her team unified and electrified an entire community that was half asleep, and her name is Coach Adia Barnes. Adia, welcome back, lady. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're living the damn dream, Adia. That's what we're doing. Not as much as you are.
I just want to know if you got thrown up this morning.
Well, I'm living. That's funny. I'm living the dream, and it's funny because it feels like we played it in the championship game like a month ago. I can't believe it hasn't even been 2 weeks. It's been a whirlwind.
So I've been, you know, it's funny. I don't watch for some reason NBA and men's basketball. I haven't watched a complete game of that probably in 20 years. But whenever you guys on, I'm always watching it start to finish because I feel like I'm invested in these personalities that makes up the team, and it's so fun to watch them do what they're doing. So, congrats on making an old crabby basketball guy watch complete basketball games.
I know. It's about time I made you watch the whole game. So now you got to keep on doing it.
Talk about the journey of this team. You kept on talking about in all your post-game interviews with those funny, weird ones where they were on the other side of the court talking to you while you were on the other side of the court. But talk about the journey from coming to U of A to where you're at. You guys had this us against the world attitude. Talk about that development of that.
Well, I think that, you know, it started with the beginning of the tournament. No one thought we'd go far, which is fine. We thought we would. But it started with that. It started with in the first, when they talked about our region, they didn't even talk about Arizona. Like, it wasn't even, Airy wasn't mentioned, our team wasn't mentioned. It was just kind of like everybody else. So we were like, okay, that's cool. And then after that, it just kept on. Then we were left out of a video, this and that. And we weren't paying attention to that. It wasn't a big deal. It just kind of was, okay, this is how it is. Okay, this is what we got to do. We didn't really care.
Well, the one thing also I love is that you guys, there's always someone was stepping up. Like, even the game where Ari didn't have a great game there, like, super game.
And Sam played a hell of a great defense.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
The ability well, for someone. Sorry.
No, sorry, you broke up. No, I think that's kind of how it was because I felt like during the year it wasn't like that, but I felt like in the tournament everybody just did a little more. So maybe Airy got a few more assists, a couple more hustle plays. Sam, a little better defense, hit some big shots. So I felt like everybody just did a little bit more to make our team successful.
How excited were you last night for Airy to go number three?
So excited. I mean, for Airy to, like, live her dream and go number three. I mean, I look back to 3 years ago. No one even knew who Airy was. And then all these accolades and came with me to Arizona when we were, like, 300th RPI to be playing for a national championship. It was so meaningful. And to do it with her, it just meant the world to me.
When Airy hurt her ankle and she was on that training table up by the baseline, what was going through your head?
I was worried because I didn't know. It looked like it was pretty bad.
Right.
So I knew it's just tough. I mean, we asked her to do so much. She's our point guard, one of our best defensive players. So, I mean, obviously I was worried, but she's just so tough. I mean, to come back in and the way she does things and her resiliency is just amazing.
One of the stories I do love about this is, of course, there's always going to be the girl power angle of what you guys do. I love the Adia Barnes family angle of all this, right? With you and your husband, you're pumping breast milk at halftime, and then you get on and you're rocking and rolling with the girls on the court. I feel like that's an important story that I think is not covered as much.
Well, and the funny thing was that was kind of all behind the scenes, like kind of private. And I didn't even know, like, people knew that. Because I was kind of like, well, I do that all the time. Like, what's the big deal? That's what we do. But it's just the circumstances of, like, how I think that was a big thing. Like, normally I pump before the game, but I couldn't because of all the media stuff. You know, normally I don't pump at halftime. I've never done that the whole year, but I didn't have time to before. So but I could not do it because then I was starting to get in pain in the game. So it's funny, like, that's what I always do. So to me, it wasn't even a thing. I'm just trying to, like, make it work, you know? So when people found out, I was like, yeah, like, but that happens, like, every week, you know?
Please tell me you were pumping breast milk while delivering a halftime speech.
No, I wasn't. So I'm not that bold. I would have probably died before that. No, but you know what's funny? So I'm in the back, and I had to rush in the back. I was like, okay, because we always talk for 5 to 7 minutes as a staff anyways. So I was like, sorry, guys, I have to pump while we talk. Because I had to just pump for a couple minutes just because I had a lot of pressure. Like, it was hurting.
Sure.
And so I was pumping for like 5 minutes. And then I didn't want to, like, take everything off, take another 2 minutes, because at that time we have 10 minutes with the team. So I kind of left everything on. I left, like, the bra on and these, like, plastic suction cups that you like, unplug the machine. And I just put the blanket over my shirt and, like, put my shirt down a little bit. So I'm talking to the team. We have 10 minutes. I'm giving the 3 bullet points I do at halftime, the adjustments. And then the blanket falls off. So then all you see is, like, boobs in the suction. And everybody started, like, cracking up. And I was like, they all started laughing.
You couldn't have planned a better moment.
No, I was, like, embarrassed, but it was, like, a good moment because we all laughed, and I was like, oops, sorry, guys. And I reached down to the floor. I pulled the blanket back on and just go back to talking. But it, like, totally broke the ice because it was stressful. It was like you could cut the air, you know? So that definitely was a moment of, like, relaxation, and it was pretty funny. Not on my behalf, but on my behalf, actually.
You probably needed that because you guys played Stanford twice this year, and they beat you both times, and you hung really, really tough. And I think playing a team 3 times gives you the advantage because you knew what you did well the first 2 times. You knew what they did against you, and you counteracted that very well, and maybe the blanket helped. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it just helps them be less stressed. It's just hard to play a team that you're so familiar with because I think the way you guard each other, like they know all of our plays. We know all of theirs. So it made it a kind of ugly basketball, but we just improved because the first game we lost like 27. Like we got better every game against them. So to me, it meant a lot. It showed we improved throughout the year. Now, unfortunately, you know, I don't want to lose to a team three times a year, but they're just a better team than we are. And that was kind of the fact.
Well, so for a team that's better than you, and you guys didn't shoot that well in the championship game, you still had a shot to pull it out in the end, which kind of think contributes to the idea that you guys play the entire game, all parts of the game.
Yeah, I think that what was really like telling for me was, okay, we shoot 28%. We shot like 44% from the free throw line. And then we got out-rebounded by 20 and still lost by 1 point. That our defense was pretty
absolutely
pretty good.
Your defense
in our hustle play. So we did a lot of other things that kept us in the game because if you told me in a national championship game you're out-rebounded by 20, I would have said we lost by 30.
Yeah.
So I think we did some good things well.
Your defense was exceptional, and you basically took Stanford to the mat, which they hadn't been held like that all year.
Yeah, so, the thing is, and that's what I always say, people always kind of questioned our offense throughout the year, and I would get so irritated because it's just it's who we were and our strength. So we're not going to go out and shoot 45%. That's not our team. So I would always say, like, it's not about that. Like, we're a good defensive team, and that's what we do to score and play well. So that's kind of how our team is. We didn't have a ton of offensive threats, but we had some good defense players, athletes, and different things. So that's kind of what worked for our team at the time.
Talk about the moment after you guys beat Connecticut that was a little bit of controversy. I thought I loved it.
It was perfect. She was fired up and firing her team up, and there was nothing wrong with it. And you know where Dick Vitale can go.
I saw a Supermom firing up the troops. So talk about that moment in relation to what was the feelings everyone was feeling right there in relation to the journey of getting to that point.
Wait, I have a question first. Did Dick Vitale say something about it? I didn't see that.
No.
Yeah, Sean?
No. That was the whole, everybody kept pointing it to her because they were reading lips and they kept saying it. And it was just kind of funny because I'm not sure what you said, but I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, okay. Because I was like, what is he saying? But anyways, no, it was a moment. So I don't care. I was not apologizing because it was an intimate moment with my team. When no one believed in us, everybody in the world, there was like 5 million viewers, about 4,960,000 believed we were going to lose.
Right.
Okay, a couple thought we were going to win. But the fact that we went in and played such a good game, no one in America or in the world thought that. So I pulled the team together. I said, hey, we believed in each other. No one else did. I said, they left us out of video. They left us out of this. No one thought we'd be here, but we did. So I said, F, everybody didn't believe in us. Let's go. We got to win two more, you know, another game. Like, it was a moment of, you know, with my team. So I don't care. I wasn't sorry for that. And it's funny, the camera that caught it was the camera on the cord or whatever on the wire. It was high above me, so I think that's what zoomed in. But I didn't care, and I wasn't apologizing because it was a moment with my team.
You shouldn't apologize.
No.
Fire them up. Let's go.
I love it. Everyone's such a stiff in sports anyway. I love it. Go for it. tell me about coaching a team under this kind of high stress. You've never coached under this high stress before. What did you learn about yourself and how you coach?
I didn't feel like it was a tremendous amount of high stress. I felt I knew it was a big game, but like I was just focused on like one game at a time. So I didn't feel like more pressure. I kind of, on Saturday before the game, I was like, shouldn't I be more nervous? Why am I not more nervous? I was more like, I think, stressed making sure I'm prepared or giving us a counter to what they do. That was more of what my stress was. Like, what can I do differently to help us win? Like, it wasn't as much, like, in the game, I was just coaching. Like, I don't feel the stress. I feel stress like a normal stress, and it felt like a little more because it was a national championship game. But I didn't feel like three times with stress. I just felt like we have a great opportunity. Let's go. We got to do our best. Like, I didn't really feel like, oh, if we don't do it, it's devastating. I just kind of was like, let me do our best and see what can happen.
So now, as you know, this is a what have you done for me lately kind of business idea. What does next year's women's basketball team look like in relation to what are you expecting from existing players? Who's coming up that you're expecting to, maybe we don't know their name yet too much. What are we looking for when the fall comes?
So the first thing is huge return of Sam. So really, really great news that Sam's coming back, our leader, our captain. I'm looking for her to have a little bit bigger role. So Sam's the first one. I think that, you know, we've added some more shooters. So we will shoot the ball a little bit better, but still have athleticism. We got from the portal, we got a player named Coy from Vanderbilt who is very versatile, can eventually probably step out to the three, but can play multiple positions and can score. And then we're probably going to get one more player in the portal, probably someone that plays inside. We have Taylor Chavez, who we got, she was a, you know, from Arizona. So she can really help us. She can shoot the ball. She can play the 1-2. Expecting big things from Kate Reese coming back. Just stronger, more experience, a taste of success. Lauren Ware improved. You know, she won't be a freshman coming back. I think, you know, big shoes to fill for her. And the good thing for her, she's going to get great experience. She's trying out for the U19 team with USA Basketball, which is huge. Bendu just improved and healthy. Shayna ready to run the team. So I think we have a great group of core. I think in a lot of ways, I think we'll be a better team. I know people don't think that, and I don't really care. But, like, I think we'll be a better overall team. We won't be as dynamic in a certain position. Like, we won't have a point guard like last year. But we will have a lot of weapons. I think Shayna, you saw what Shayna's capable of doing from the championship game. So I think that we're just going to look different, but I think be a better balanced team. Just because of our personnel.
It's going to be interesting how the press covers you guys, because they've been underrating you for so long, and we'll see how it comes out, and how you, hopefully they, you know, you guys have been showing yourselves you're one of the best teams in the country right now, and you've built it to one of the best programs in the country in just a short time, so keep kicking their butt, Adia, that's all I can tell you.
Yep. Thank you. I hope, and I hope that, you know, I don't want to be one of those coaches where it's like you get there one time with a great player and you're done. So, like, we're committed. Like, we have a coaching change. We're upgrading some things. I think we're committed to, like, getting back there. Like, I want to, like, sustain success. I think that's the hardest thing. And that's why I admire Tara so much. She's been able to do it multiple times. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to do it once. I want to do something special here at Arizona. And I think that the city's so excited. I think that we have all the tools. So now we just got to go out and do it.
ArizonaWildcats.com to buy your tickets for next year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to average 10,000 fans a game. I'm going to challenge Tucson, and I'll do it more later. But I really think we can have 10,000 fans a game.
I remember you said that when we were going through the NIT run.
And we did it.
And the Rona blew it up. But yeah. We'll get it done.
We'll get back there.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations. Thanks for a hell of a ride for this entire city.
Yeah, Coach, thanks for enlightening the whole town and get letting us get something behind to have a good time with. And you guys did a great job.
Thank you. Bear down.
All right. Thanks, Adia. Take care.
Bye.
Adia Barnes, she is currently in the number one position in Rockstar Coaches in all of Arizona.
Easily.
I think so. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30, The Voice. All right. Thanks to Adia Barnes for sitting down with me and Shawnee. She's a real person, man. Emotions. Let's rock and roll. Cut the crap. Love her.
I was hoping she'd be in studio. I mean, we've done a couple of them with her in studio. I was telling guys last night, I was like, hey, she is one hell of a good time. I mean, she's just a real down-to-earth, just cool
person. Takes care of her crap. Right, but look at the connection she's made through women's basketball. That's why hiring impersonal stiffs like Rich Rod, Kevin Sumlin, and Sean Miller has been more is in the end long term damaging to the relationship between the
community and the team.
Yeah,
not the recruiting; it's the community.
Correct.
And U of A is all about community. I mean, Lute Olson did it the best. He engaged with the community, and that's all he did. I can't think of his name. Dick Tomey did it well with the community. Even though I'm going back a couple of years, but yeah. None of the football coaches since Tomey have really resonated with the community.
Correct.
The new guy's trying.
No, they're the right moves there. I like the basketball hire too. So
basketball's a good hire. I agree with you there. I think he's going to be a heck of a recruiter, and we need that. We need some good level talent to come in, and we need to make Arizona a powerhouse.
Hey, just real quick, I want to get this news. Billy number two sent this out to me. I don't do anything with near the print edition of the Red Star, but TUSD did announce they're cutting 60 teachers.
Yes.
Because of enrollment decline.
Yes, and that is because Trio came out and said, we're not sure why our kids aren't coming back, but we don't need all these people. Hey, dude, take a look at your district. It kind of sucks. And that's kind of why Tucson sucks, because you suck, and that's the whole problem. If you build up your TUSD, I said this 6 years ago, if you build up your middle schools, you give us a better workforce, you get better companies to come here, you get more people. Not necessarily that we need more people here right now because we got a flood of them coming in, but you want to build up Tucson, and you had, it was either you or Zach the other day that had somebody on that said, if you want to talk about keeping people in Tucson, people leave. Tucson misses the middle. They start here, they leave for the middle, and they come back here.
Right.
We need to keep them here for the middle. If you want to do that, TUSD, pull your head out your backside and let's go.
So what's interesting is, so they're pulling 60 teachers. They say they lost 3,350 kids in 1 year. So
50 kids a classroom?
That's 56 kids.
They need to get rid of a couple more teachers.
But
How about Trujillo takes a pay cut of like 60%? Well, what's he making? 325?
No, I bet he's in the twos.
Come on.
They still need 35 special ed teachers that they don't have.
Hardest game to fill.
It is the hardest game. Those people are saints.
There's something special.
137 vacancies in school bus drivers. And then 100. It's so funny. But think about this, right? So they're cutting 60 teachers. They need 137 school bus drivers, 141 vacancies for teachers' aides in special ed, and 35 special ed teachers. But the district still has 8,000 employees.
It's like the county. The county is 7,700. They haven't cut a soul.
I like this. Trujillo says that he thinks some of the students who left TUSD in the school year will return.
He's funny.
And said that students have enrolled since the district opened campuses for in-person learning. Well, there is part of the idea that for some people, transportation-wise or whatever.
No. What he said there was students have enrolled since they've opened back up. Hence, the translation there is people moved into the district, didn't know any better. They got to send their kid to TUSD. They'll pull them out next year. That's the translation.
Oh, we got that too. That's true.
You didn't think about that, did you?
That's why I got you here, buddy.
Hey, I'm here to pick up the pieces.
Best wingman in radio.
Best wings in Tucson. Go to Rocco. There's a little plug for you, Rocco.
Thank you, sir.
It is a fat kid favorite.
I know. This school district is...
It's trash. It needs to be broken up into two districts, and you need to have, let's fight for the money.
So how would you break it up?
Cut it right down the middle.
Which way?
Split it north and south, east and west. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Just cut it up. It's too big. It's inefficient. It's a hindrance to Tucson. It does not help us in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't produce leaders. It doesn't produce winners.
So you figure
winners.
They like those, where the northeastern, eastern part, where there's a higher property tax on the houses over there to pay for schools. So if you cut it down the middle, let's say you cut off, the Sabino, Saguaro, that east side.
The answer to your question is Flowing Wells survives, Sunnyside survives. They're economically challenged.
Sunnyside sucks, but Flowing Wells
is surviving, okay? If you can do it in Flowing Wells, you can do it in Southside Tucson. You can do it in Central Tucson.
Make it there. Make it anywhere.
If Flowing Wells can do it, you can do it.
It's up to you, Flowing Wells.
And I don't think Cat Foothills is all that great.
Flowing Wells. Sorry.
Yeah. Chris lost his rails there for a second. But Cat Foothills isn't that great. They've got other issues. They don't have financial issues. They have other issues.
They still do, but when I look at standardized testing and things like that, they still do better than TUSD.
Sure. But the decline from sixth to the freshman sophomore year was catastrophic.
That's the entire, other than
we did this year,
other than Tanque Verde School District.
Yes.
Every school district has a huge drop between third grade and eighth grade.
Yeah. Freshman year in high school.
Yeah.
That's when it all falls apart. Well, so what does that attest to?
Sean,
that's your teachers and that's your school district and that's your leadership.
You have been a sprightly delight.
Oh, thanks.
Can't wait for you to get married. It's going to be
four weeks.
Heck of a party.
Yes, it will be.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Thanks to Adia Barnes, Rocco, Mark Van Buren, Ron Arenas, Cast of Thousands, and of course, Dr. Callahan for a great Jethro Tull week. So wake up.